Thank you for your presence this evening in worship and community. Let us pray. May the Spirit of God open each of our hearts with the light of Christ, that we would feel the touch of your love, O Lord. Be healed from our sense of falseness and separation from you, and touched with your changing grace. This we ask in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent, the holy indwelling of the Trinity.
Our first reading is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. The word of God continued to spread and grow. After Barnabas and Saul completed their relief mission, they returned to Jerusalem, taking with them John, who is called Mark. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who was a close friend of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, completing their fasting and prayer, they laid hands on them and sent them off. So they, sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and from there sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. The word of the Lord. The responsorial psalm is, "O God, let all the nations praise you." O God, let all the nations praise you. May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us. So may your way be known upon earth, among all nations, your salvation. O God, let all the nations praise you. May the nations be glad and exult because you rule the peoples in equity. The nations on the earth you guide. O God, let all the nations praise you. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us, and may all the ends of the earth fear him. O God, let all the nations praise you. Alleluia, alleluia. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Alleluia, alleluia. Our second reading is from John 12. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him, the word that I spoke. It will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own, But the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me. The Gospel of the Lord.
The profound awareness that Jesus demonstrates of his connection with his essence is inspiring to me. And let me begin with a question to myself. How can I remember my essence more? I'm inspired by Jesus' connection, a connection apparently that never dropped, perhaps until even the end. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have I lost that sense of connection? But I'm inspired by his deep awareness of who he was. The statement that we heard from the gospel, whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light. I can only imagine what it must have been to be Jesus. And to know and sense this inward essence and truth of the divine union and his presence, the presence of God with him all his life. And then to come to full conscious awareness in adulthood with his theological training, his Jewish upbringing, the lineage of the monotheistic faith from Abraham, and for him to feel that oneness with Almighty God so that he honestly couldn't say where he ends and God begins. I cannot imagine what it would have been like to be that way all his life, the unitive state. And then to speak things like, the Father and I are one, and if you see me, you're seeing the Father, to the mind that divides us up into Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, male and female, good, bad, to that mind that forgets people's essence. That statement, to see Jesus, is to see the Father, doesn't make any sense at all. Now, lest you judge those who wanted to kill Jesus for saying things just like that, unless I judge those who wished to lock Jesus up for saying things like that, for communicating his essence and being honest about it, I notice I do that all the time. I do that all the time to myself. I do not believe that I have an essential oneness with the living God. It can't be really happening in me, Lord. I'm so much less than so-and-so. How could I do that? Or I have failed in these ways. Certainly, I am not one with you. I do that all the time when I look in the mirror and I don't recognize myself anymore. The hair is no longer there, and I think, I don't like how I look. And instantly, that division between I and me, and I and what I see. And not only is my inner life like that toward myself, it's even worse toward other people. I forget their essence all the time. Now, none of you, you are all here tonight, but all those others that aren't here, where's their essence? The person who cut me off, Shannon's driving today in the car, as I said, in the passenger seat. On and on and on, I disregard the essence of my brothers and sisters in the human family, forget who they really are, and treat them as such. I don't think I'm the only one who forgets this truth. So the question is, what can we learn from Jesus about how to recapture our sense of connection to our essence and to help remember others' essence? To speak from a more honest place, a more real place, a more cultivated place that has been sinking in the silence and remembering even when the mind and its chatter is forgetting. A couple illustrations I think perhaps might help from real life. I served as a chaplain at a psychiatric hospital in Trenton, New Jersey for a year in seminary. We had to do these practicums. And this was very much out of my comfort zone to be a chaplain at this psychiatric hospital. It was an old school psychiatric hospital. Big brick buildings, had to carry a set of keys around, a big staff badge, and of course the clergy collar. And there was one young woman there who I always had a sensitivity toward and an awareness of her, because she was just a little younger than me. I was probably 25 and she looked 23. And she was deeply troubled, probably some sort of psychotic break. I don't know the diagnosis. But she clearly was so deeply troubled with herself, much less anyone who came close. And especially with the clergy collar, when I would come nearby, she would turn around and get panicked and agitated. Almost 6 or 7 months went by, and it was the spring. All I remember is the spring, and I was nearing my end of my time there. And I came to the unit one day, and she wasn't there, and I walked by the isolation room, which was padded, and she was strapped down, and she was in sort of a manic phase, screaming. And I peeked my head into the door, and she looked at me like wild eyes, and I was scared. And my mind did not know what to say or do. Nothing in seminary prepares you for that moment, maybe nothing anywhere. And without thinking about it, I noticed all of a sudden something happened. I started to sing. It was all that came up. And the song that came up was, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below." Perhaps you've heard that song, it's the doxology. And the second I started singing, her eyes softened, her shrieks stopped, and she sat up as much as she could from the straps, and she looked at me intently. And I finished the song, and she said, "Thank you, Father." Essence, through the fog of whatever separated us. Shannon told me a story of a client who called the other day who has been hasn't seen Shannon in a good 2 years. And she was taken to the ER. She's in hospice. She weighs about 400 pounds, and apparently they took her in naked. The indignity, I can't even imagine. Here's a woman who's dying, and she's had a very difficult health journey, and she looked at Shannon after some conversation, and Shannon told me that the woman looked up at her into her eyes and said, "Shannon, has my life been a waste?" Can you imagine? Has my life been a waste? And Shannon shared, and I was so moved by what Shannon shared with this woman. And Shannon said, I don't know if I'd have the wits in the moment to say this. She said, "It doesn't matter what happened in your past. It doesn't matter what's going to happen in the future. What matters right now is right now." And her eyes teared up. And it was a healing exchange between Shannon's presence of her eyes and this woman's grief and sadness as she confronts her death. Essence. So, this light that Jesus comes in to bring is inspiring to me, and it's easy to lock the light up in Jesus. And we know, because we are students of the depth of Christ and the mystery of Christ, that the person who says, "The Father and I are one," that when you see me, you see the Father. Those pronouns, I and me, aren't referring specifically, necessarily, and exclusively to the historical cutout person named Jesus. It's actually what Jesus is trying to say is, if you could see beyond my physical sense, you would understand that I don't know where I end and God begins. It's as if, and the word wasn't invented then, this union is so real and so deep and so true. I am the living one. It's happening in me right here, right now. Of course, he didn't say it like that. But that's what he was trying to say. That dividing line between God and man, that Christ line, you don't know where one side ends and the other begins. It's like, where does East end and West begin? This is the mystery of the oneness that Jesus is living from and speaking from and ministering from. And he's saying, yes, I've come as light to awaken those to help us not live in that darkness of separation, of forgetfulness of the essence, of believing the lie that we are not one with God. Now, it is true, it is not a matter so much of quantity, but of quality to which Jesus is distinct from us. And the contrast is significant, like the pinprick in Bernadette's circle tour. Yes, the union for all of us is there. We begin with that little pinprick of union. That is the oneness, the union. From Jesus, the pinprick expands like an aperture to nothingness, so that all of it is Christ. All of it is the oneness. Christ is that which is one with God. Christ is the oneness of the human and the divine. And for Jesus to be speaking from that was an endless exercise of being misunderstood and of being judged and of being, you might say, ahead of his time. As a witness bearer, a demonstrator of what we were meant to be and what we can become. If we receive the light and it does its thing, by grace, transforming us little by little, transforming that personality which judges, critiques, analyzes, criticizes, into the love of God, period, which another word for is essence. So here's the, I think, perhaps the practical point where boots on the ground for you and for me. I live in a world that is distracting me from my realness and my essence. I know we all do. Just driving down Mopac today, just commuting, just listening to the news, just planning things for a move, just dealing with conflicted personalities at work, just listening to people's conversation. All of this seems to be something of a forgetful pill, an environment of forgetfulness of the darkness that keeps me asleep to the light. And I begin to feel discouraged, number one, that anything will ever be different. Will the world ever be different? Will I ever be different? Will this person ever be different? Will my church ever be different? Is there any hope? And I believe that there is. Now, the before and after thing is really powerful. The scripture that we had read from the book of Acts is really the after. And the gospel is the before. The after of what the light does through Jesus is profound. That list of names that you heard, you could go through that and hear the immense diversity that the light and the power of the Holy Spirit released from the ascension of Jesus began to bring about in the world. The diversity alone, you had a politician in that, the friend of Herod. You had a Jewish person in there. You had a Greek person in there. You had someone from Africa. You had someone from Niger. Incredible diversity of the gospel, of the light of God, that started to transform the world, not just Jerusalem, not just Antioch, north in Syria, but now moving to Cyprus. Soon it would go to Greece, then it would go to Italy, then all of Europe. And here we are in Austin, Texas, touched by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have never been the same because of that light. And you have never been the same because of that light. So the encouragement is, little by little, one light can change the world. And it's not about believing. Anyone who believes I am the light will enter into that light. Anyone who believes I am the Father or sees me and sees the Father, it's not so much that intellectual belief. That word is a deeper word. It really conveys the idea of faith, which really conveys the idea of saying yes to it, a willingness to say yes when you can't understand or see. It's really the essence of consent. I believe. It's really best conveyed by Mary's statement, let it be in me, O God, according to thy word. I don't know how it will happen, but let it be in me. That's the essence of belief, of faith. And we've turned it up to hear what you know. This belief is really much more about what you say yes to. And so the discouragement I may feel from time to time as I look at my own life and look at my relationships and look at the world and wonder about my own effectiveness on my own mission, am I ever going to be fruitful? When I compare myself to, say, someone like Tim, will I ever have traction? Will this personality ever stop its things that create friction? And this sense of despair or discouragement about my patterns. Yes, yes. Don't worry about it. Let the light of Christ in, just say yes to it, and let it expand your aperture of being so that there's less of you, more of me, that I might decrease, that Christ might be more and more. The whatness of God's presence. There's a psalm that says, in your light we see light. And it's just like that. The more light that gets in, the more we see. And that word, by the way, that Jesus says, if anyone sees me, if anyone sees the union that is right here in front of you, you'll see God and you'll see that I'm the way, what I'm doing, what I'm here about is the way. If anyone sees that, that's the Greek word theoria, where we get the word contemplation from. So even though it's translated see, the better way of taking that is anyone who beholds and understands that this is the way, that this is what I'm here to show God wants to do in human beings, is expand that little aperture open, that the light would have its way in each of us. Monday, somebody came to the office. She had called to have an appointment, and I was curious what she wanted to talk about, because there's some big things happening at the church I'm serving, a lot of change, good change. And so I thought maybe she wanted to come and criticize or complain that big change. And she's been in my weekly work group that I have been, you know, slyly and subtly doing every Tuesday morning there. And she doesn't say much in the group, but she's a wise, bright woman in her mid-70s, very elegant, beautiful woman on the outside. And the first words out of her mouth to me, when I was in a moment, in a season of wondering, of insecurity, of this is a big chair to fill. What is the measure of my life? What is the fruit of my ministry? She looks at me and she says, I don't know what I'll do when you leave. Your teaching has changed my life. I knew there was something more to Christianity, and now I understand. And my mouth was just like that. Because I've heard those words come out of my mouth to Tim and others. And I realized, praise the Lord, this little light of mine isn't really mine. It's all of ours. And we get to receive it and share it and let it flow. It's easy to get caught up in Jesus and make it about a Jesus religion. What is more challenging and more profound and more powerful than any of us could ever imagine is when we say that big yes and let our apertures of self expand by the light. It will do it. And let it flow through us and help us see God in everyone. And see God here. And remember, little by little by little, this deepest truth of all, that everyone else needs to hear and feel, and we can be a part of that process. May each of us be inspired to sing our songs to the crazy world, however it comes out, just to be courageous, to be present with our eyes to those sitting in the ER rooms of life, looking, hungering for the touch of the living Jesus Christ. You can do it. We cannot do, that is true, but it can be done through us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have been so fed by this church, and the reciprocal maintenance principle is so beautiful. I give to this church that feeds me weekly, and I give as an act of gratitude to God as my source from which all things come. Let's remember the truth. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. Therefore, I give freely and receive joyfully together. Let us say this together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Awake now to the deepest truth of all, our union with God in Christ. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lie of our separation and our useless acting out from fear. Amen. Among the other crazy statements Jesus is known for is the statement, "This is my body, and this is my blood." It is a mystery on par with the Trinity and the mystery of Christ. And tonight, and every Wednesday and Sunday, we get to participate and say yes to that mystery having more of us, eating that falseness and eating that personality little by little. Yes, we consume the host and the cup, but it consumes us for the glory of God. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be broken for you. This is the body of Christ. Supper was ended. He took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. May the light, life, and love of the living Trinity be with each of us this evening and until we meet again. Amen.